son and his wife came home to celebrate the holiday with us. Truly, this is a homecoming experience for many. We gather together to enjoy good food as well as the time with one another. This is a day can also be a meaningful time to reflect on God in addition to his blessings. May I ask, what does the Bible say about Jesus' second coming? As described in the book of Revelation chapter 1, Jesus dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with the golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white as wool, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice like the rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. This we recognize, not the Lord of the crucifixion. This is the Lord of glorification. This is not the same Jesus that we saw him on the cross. This is the same Jesus, though. It is the Jesus of power. This is the Jesus that comes as a judge. He walks up and down the aisles of the churches, evaluating what is their strengths and weaknesses and where they should come to repent. In the book of Revelation, we found letters to these 7 churches in the province of Asia. These messages filled with encouragement, rebuke, and challenges. But most importantly, these letters speak to us just as they did to the first century recipients. Today, we journey to the Church of Philadelphia. There, we will learn with the believers of the Church of Philadelphia together how we will cling to Jesus Christ, how to persevere in faith in the midst of the great trial. Next slide, please. In this passage, there are 3 sections, 3 divisions in the letter to the Philadelphia. We will learn that our circumstances are harsh, our sorrows outnumber joys. Jesus Christ said out loud to us, shouted to us, hold on everything you got. You know, help is on the way. I'm coming soon. And with that promises, we can hold on in faith and rejoice. Next slide, please. The main truth in this passage is holding on fast to God's promises in hard time strengthen our faith. The first section is helping us knowing hold fast to Jesus Christ because he is holy and true. First, next slide, please. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Christ identifies himself as holy and true. This is a title of God. Son of God, God himself, that speaks to the Church of Philadelphia. Jesus is God, he is truth, and he speaks truth. The holy perfection and the trustworthiness of God and his word hold his people. That's us securely. For example, when we are crossing the road with children in tow, we put our hands, say it, hold on tight. Our little ones will grasp our hands as tightly as they can. But do you think we can calm down their grip? No, we would not do that. It is actually our grip on their hands that holds them and keeps them secure. In the same way, Apostle Paul says that Christ Jesus also took hold of me. That means Christ has a grip on me. one thing we know for sure. For us as Christians, it is not our grip on God that keep us safe, but it is the power of Jesus Christ. No one can take us out of his grip, not even our life challenges, not even the devil. Once we are in his hands, God will not let go. Moreover, you know, we actually are doubly safe because we have Father God on one side and our Lord Savior on the other side, put us in between like a vice-grip to keep us secure. You know, these are the hands that shapes the mountains and the oceans. These are the hands that flung the stars into space. Nothing in this life shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. Hold fast to Jesus Christ, because he is holy and true. Jesus also is the one that holds the key. The key holding means that he has great authority given by God over his kingdom and his people. Jesus has the authority to open the door of heaven, just like he did on the cross, saying to the criminal next to him, believe in him. He said, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. Jesus opened the door to the gospel for the lives of the seekers. Because Jesus holds the key, no one can lock his people out of the eternal destiny promised to us. But you know, the most important thing is that Jesus wants to give this key to us, his chosen people, to give faithful witnesses to share the gospel with others. By sharing his messages, we actually give glory to God, our Father, that you will bear much fruit. So to prove we are actually disciples of Jesus Christ. So we will hold fast to Jesus because God will form his Son's character within us. The lesson that we learn, the principle for this section, is that the one who saves us is the one who keeps us because we are in his grip. That will take us to the second division of this passage. Holding fast to Jesus Christ because he opened doors for his believers. As we read in Revelation 3:8. Jesus' message to the church in Philadelphia focuses on the imagery of door. Jesus told the church in Philadelphia they have an open door, referring to the ministry, the opportunity that God set before them. The church of Philadelphia received this letter from Christ himself, encouraging them to capture the great opportunity for continual ministry for the Lord. The city of Philadelphia actually was built at the corner of three regions coming together: Libya, Lycia, and Phrygia. The city was founded so that it can be the gateway for spread of the Hellenism, that is the Greek language and customs, into the surrounding region, the central part of Asia Minor. Therefore, the Church of Philadelphia had many opportunities open for spreading the gospel. Jesus offered the church encouragement, and I wanted to identify with this church very much, my personally, because Jesus offered this church with a lot of encouragement, with no negative word of criticism. Because, as the scripture says, they have kept the word of God. They have not denied God's name. However, we notice that right in verse 8, it says, Jesus knew. church in Philadelphia had the blood of streams. Jesus Christ knew the church passionately devoted to him. But it is a small group of Gentile believers, a minority struggling in the midst of a community that despised them. What was their struggle? What was the struggle? The synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan refers to a specific Jewish community in Philadelphia that persecuted the church, who opposed the witness of the church. Those are the people who profess loyalty to God, yet they reject his teaching and persecuting God's people. For the majority of the persecution of the New Testament church actually came from the Jewish community. In fact, most of the Roman persecution was an effort to appease the Jewish authority, to make the Jewish leadership happy. As long as the Christians were identified as a sect of Judaism, they were exempt from observing the Roman state religion. However, when Christians were expelled from the synagogue and denounced by the Jewish leadership, they were outside of the protective umbrella of the synagogue, and now they are open to the Roman persecution. The fact that the Apostle Paul prisoned in the prison by the Roman governors of Felix and Festus in the book of Acts is a proof of that. Under the persecution of the synagogue, even though this church had a little strains, but they had to remain faithful and kept God's word. You know, this is the very challenge for us as a church and the individual believers today. We have little streams, and we can find a similar situation in the Old Testament, actually. In the book of Joshua, Joshua 5, we found Joshua himself was making preparation to enter into God's promised land. However, Joshua faced Jericho, a fortified city and locked out right in the gateway to Canaan. Joshua might have felt it is an impossible mission, would you consider? When he looked up, he saw a man standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand, ready for battle. Joshua approached this stranger and asked with courage, "Are you for us, or are you for our enemies?" The reply came as a great surprise to Joshua, because he said, "Neither, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I now have come." The commander of the army of the Lord wanted Joshua to know that God is committed to his people. He is owning the battle. The battle was the Lord's. But God is not our servant. He takes no side. God takes hold of each believer's life and called us to be on his side, lifting us up into his eternal purposes. That's what God is doing. That is why Joshua fell on his face and worshiped, because Joshua recognized God's greatness and his own smallness. That's why he asked, "What message does the Lord have for his servant?" Joshua 5:14. Joshua experienced victory at Jericho because he held fast to Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus Christ as the absolute authority. That's why he obeyed and followed the Lord's unique battle plan to take over the city of Jericho. However, on another occasion later, Joshua and his people lost the grip on Jesus Christ. They did not focus should be opening God's Word and enjoying God's Son. Have we acknowledged and submitted to Jesus' authority to speak in our lives? Follow Jesus Christ must live fully under His authority and His Word. Who may influence us to live in a way that defies God's Word? Have we found ways to justify wrong behavior? No, we must submit every decision and desire to God's Word. Disobedience to God's Word is deadly. We need to hold fast to Jesus. Live under the safety of God and His Word by recognizing God's greatness and our smallness, making us more dependent on Him. Have we stepped through the door that Jesus had opened to us? Will we hold fast to Jesus despite the cultural pressure or the behavior that opposed to His Word? God and the content of His Word. When we decide to fit into the culture or not, we must learn from the believers in Philadelphia. We hold fast to Jesus because He opens doors for gospel ministries in the midst of adversity. So again, the principle is spiritual victories require dependence on our Lord. We will hold fast to Jesus because He opens door to His believers to fulfill many promises He make and to accomplish all His purposes. And that leads us to the next section, section 3. Next slide, please. Holding fast to Jesus because the Lord has given His believer many beautiful promises. Notice that to the believers holding fast to Jesus, Jesus promised to humiliate their family, their enemies. Next slide, please. Revelation 3:9. Next slide, please. And we also notice that Jesus promised to keep them from the hour of trial. The hour of trial is referring to the tribulation. The tribulation, notice that Jesus said He will keep the church from the hour of trial. This is the reason why I believe the church will be raptured before the entire 7-year period of tribulation. Next, Jesus will promise that He will come quickly, making each victorious believer a pillar in God's temple. To be a pillar in God's temple is a privilege to praise in God's presence. We will stay in the God's temple, enjoying God's presence and the fellowship with Him. Jesus also promised to write on the victorious believer's name, His name, the God's name. As a result, no one will question all these believers belong to. We are God's. And Jesus also will write on these victorious believers the name of the city of God. For us, victorious believers, we have a permanent address. Our permanent address is the New Jerusalem, the city of God. And Jesus also promised to write on these victorious believers His new name, the victorious name that He will reveal on His second coming. Understanding these wonderful promises of Jesus encourages us to hold fast to Jesus Christ, because we will be victorious in His power. You know, God wants us to exercise our faith. The lesson, the principle that we learn from this passage is, next slide please, only as we step out in faith do we learn by experience that God is faithful. many of us travel by air or an airplane flying through a storm, it is a very dangerous experience, especially for the pilots in the airplane. The temptation is always to fly by their instincts, as the aviator says, by the seat of your pants, deciding what you should do as you go along using your own perception. That's any skill the veteran pilots would tell you. This is actually a prescription for disasters. Because if you rely on your feeling and instincts, you will become disoriented, thinking that the airplane is going out. Actually, it is coming down, crashing to the ground. Thankfully, the instrument's panel is right next to the pilots, available for them to use, so they will guide them, even when it feels like all these panels heading in the wrong directions. They are wrong, but they will help ensure safe passages through the storm. Next slide. We will face life challenges, all of us, that threaten to confuse us and disorient us. These life storms may come as a form of a call from the doctor's office, telling us all the health issues that we may have. Or these life storms may come as a friend who has betrayed us or has shattered the dreams. These are the times we should especially be careful in holding on to Jesus Christ. When we are blinded by the life's disappointments, do not trust our own instinct. Flying by the seat of your pants in the storm of life can only lead into despair, confusion, and vengeful responses that makes the matters worse. God wants to guide us, and His Word is packed with wisdom and insight for living. His Word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my path, Psalm 119:105. Where He leads is always right. Trust God to guide us. He promises, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, Psalm 32:8. Next slide, please. Many of us have read the Oswald Chambers' devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. It is a book of devotional reading for every day of the year. It has been translated into many languages and remained in print since 1927. It has been, as we could say that, functional in the spiritual life of millions around the world. Oswald Chambers, the author, was born in Scotland in 1901. He began teaching and preaching throughout England, Ireland, Scotland, United States, as well as Japan. In 1915, Oswald accepted God's call and moved his family to Egypt, and to serve as a YMCA chaplain to the troops during World War I. Early in the morning of November 15, 1917, Oswald Chambers died of complication after a ruptured appendix. He was only 43 years old. Some who knew Chambers react with the stunned disbelief and ask many hard questions. There's simply no adequate answers. Why, for example, one asks, why will God take Oswald when He has so few men like him? His wife, Biddy, numb with sorrow, went to her friend's house to cry and pray. They went together and prayed together, and the word of the scripture came powerfully to Biddy's mind. Christmas evening, she recalled the last words she heard her husband Oscar speak. Greater works than these shall he do, because I got unto my Father. John 14:12. The Word of God, Mark, a turning point for me. She returned to the YMCA, continued to transcribe her shorthand notes of Oswald's talk giving at the Bible Training College in London and the message given to the troops in Egypt, and put them in print. The YMCA in Egypt began sending 10,000 free copies of Chambers' talk each month to soldiers serving in the Europe and in the Middle East during the war. Following her return to England in 1919, Biddy continued to embrace God's calling to share Oswald's sermon message through the print pages. By the time she died in 1966, 50 books bearing her husband's name had been published, with no mention of her own. Biddy Chambers' story shows us that she went through the huge storm of life, yet she arrived at heavenly home victoriously. Biddy responds to God's calling to hold fast by clinging to Jesus Christ and His Word. Biddy Chambers' life story shows us and allows us to reflect the following truth. God is the God of her yesterdays. God used Biddy's notes of her husband's sermons, the memory of her yesterday, to turn her past into a ministry for spiritual growth for many generations to come, including us. And God is the God for the security of today. Just like me, we can go out with the patient power, knowing that God will watch our steps in order to prevent us to trip into failures. More importantly, there is a security for us tomorrow. For the Lord God will go before us. We are under His protection. What will be your responses to God in face of our life challenges, including those that we face in the Wadley Chinese Christian Church? I'm glad that I have observed many of us using creative ways to reach them. You know that every conversation, every word that you use is an encouragement. It is an opportunity to show God's love to others, even under great stress. So, the Lord tells us today that we need to make a commitment to Him, that we will hold fast to Jesus, because Jesus gave these beautiful promises, wonderful promise that can energize us with great hope and strength to cling to Him faithfully. Let us bow our heads and pray together. Our Father God, we have read your message with great encouragement, knowing that eternity awaits, and with eternity comes the final wrap-up of history. Those of us who trust in Christ as a Savior are going to be part of these wonderful events with Jesus' second coming. Grant us, O God, that we will have the boast of strength and the courage to say, "Praise the Lord, I have Jesus as my Savior." If you have never trusted Jesus as a Savior, may you right now say, "Jesus, please come and be my Savior." Jesus will be there for you. Jesus will tell you that you are trusting him to open the door of the paradise to you. Jesus is the only one who can do it. There's no other keys floating around. Father God, we thank you for the nail pierced hands of Jesus Christ that reach out in love and take us by our hands. You have led us by your right hand through our life challenges. We trust you to hold us and keep us safe all the way to the end. Lord, we hold fast to your promises. We expect your return. We hold on with the confidence as we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Please come. In the holy, perfection, trustworthy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.